What's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper people, Clipper pals? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Somehow we manage, you know?
Hey, we're Locked On Clips, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Proud to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Anyways, exciting news for Clippers fans today. It was the beginning of media week.
Yeah.
Today was day one. Just a sidebar. There was supposed to be coach availability.
Yeah, every other coach for a team who spoke today, like, was there. No Ty Lue. So just like last year, we don't get to hear from the head coach on media day.
Very interesting. But anyways, there was still some great stuff from Zoo and new addition Luke Kennard. So we're going to talk about that. And then it's What You Say Wednesday. Charles puts a poll out there on Twitter every single Tuesday, and we let you all weigh in. This one, not very contentious. Little lopsided.
Little lopsided, but there's nuance that I want to talk about on this one.
I can't wait. I can't wait. And then in Shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends around the Clippers, some more just hurtful news from Jermichael. And the City Edition jerseys were officially announced. So we're going to be talking all that and another rare Kawhi sighting.
Mm.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Got to give a shout out to Built Bar.
Oh, you do.
It's brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. But let's get into this media day one recap. Were you hyped for the season once this thing finally started to get going?
Yes. Yeah. Charles added a finally because it was like an hour late.
Yeah, they were still doing workouts. You know, the Clippers' relationship with the press is very interesting, which we'll talk about a little more later.
Yes. Yeah. We do need to talk about that later. But I like honestly. It was great to see Zoo again. He's like a really great interview, and he's only gotten better in the, you know, this will be his like third season with the Clippers. But I was super hyped. And honestly, man, Kennard completely sold me.
I think it's so funny that day one of media day where fans have been anticipating like, you know, you want to see Kawhi or PG, and the Clips were like, you got Zoo and Luke, baby. Like, no, it was great. It was a bit of a cliche fest. I think Kennard said he was excited like 5,000 times.
Dude's excited.
Dude's psyched.
What do you want him to do?
But Zoo was great. I guess we just kind of take through. I like what he said about Doc. He said losing Doc was tough.
Yeah.
And that he learned a lot from him, and he's always going to remember playing his first meaningful playoff basketball under Doc.
Yes. I mean, his only playoff basketball.
Yeah. And he just grew so much from that horrible Warriors series that he had.
Yeah. Yeah. So that immediately came to mind when he was speaking. Like, it's, I mean, I can't give the dude enough credit. Like, he went from being unplayable to being a guy that everyone was clamoring for more time.
We needed him. Yeah.
Who we desperately needed. He also talked about some of the difficulties of the Clippers and not making it out of the second round. He just said that they didn't have it at the right time.
Yes.
He did add that it's a make or miss league.
Which everyone was like, okay, for sure.
He also gave a lot of credit to Jokic and saying that, you know, you don't get to play guys like that often. And it's a lot different in a series, obviously, when you end up playing them seven times.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. I mean, he said that he learned a lot from that experience. And, you know, it's likely a team we're going to see again. So
I think it's the start of a new playoff rivalry.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I'm excited about, I guess. He also mentioned in the offseason he'd been working on finishing, catching, and shooting from outside during this short period of time off. How far from outside are we talking?
Dude, I don't care. Like,
I'm hoping
honestly,
it's inside the three-point line.
Yeah, if it's like 10 feet, I think that's fine. I got to be honest. Like, it's an interesting wrinkle. To me, I just want Zoo to be a better finisher. If he just improves his finishing and continues his great rim protection, that's all I really need from
him. And if he like has to take a shot from outside, I'm fine with it. But if he's like 15 feet out on design plays, I'm like, what are we doing here? This isn't the mid-range isn't Zoo's game. Like,
we
just have who else is on the floor.
We just have enough shooting and enough guys who are lethal in the mid-range. This is not like a something I'm clamoring for Zoo to really even be working on, to be honest.
He also said there was kind of some chip on the shoulder talk, which got people pretty hyped up.
Yes. Yeah. So they talked about sort of being kind of counted out. Zoo said it's interesting that people, you know, don't even think that they're going to win a championship. I think that that's going to be great for this team.
Back to the shadows, dude. Hashtag team back to the shadows.
Yeah. And this is like sort of the galvanizing experience that you need a new group of guys to go through. Yes. You know, you look at the Bulls and those Pistons series, you know, before they won their chip.
Yeah.
So I hope that this can, like, some good can come out of this. And, you know, he did talk too about, like, obviously he doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, but just how different the situation was in the bubble.
Yeah.
And I know as fans, like, being so disappointed in the result, it's hard to contextualize that, but that's like a really difficult thing for the dudes.
Yeah, 100%. A wise man once said, "I get knocked down, but I get back up again." He mentioned Ty Lue, he thinks is the perfect coach for the Clips. Added, he thinks the Clippers are going to run more this season, which, let's hope.
It'd be good to see some increased pace. It'd be good to see, you know, some points off of turnovers, all that sort of stuff, which we'll talk about more at another time. But he also said something that was a little troubling, which was he doesn't know how different things will be with Ty Lue at the helm since they haven't practiced yet.
Look, we've been to this not practice movie before, and it's a bad one.
So I guess my only two negative takeaways were this. I mean, I would hope already at this point that, you know, the wheels for Ty Lue would be spinning and he'd be texting guys.
Oh, he definitely is doing that, I feel.
And it, like Zoo said, he felt that, like, they knew who they were. And
yeah.
If that's true, that wasn't apparent on the court really at any given point. I think maybe he was speaking more directly to his situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, we've been criticizing this, you know, for at
a
least
year
since
now?
The ball. Yeah. Like, it was never clear, like, what the identity of this team fully was.
Yeah, for sure. Also, someone asked him what he thought of Kennard's play, and he gave, like, the nicest answer that basically boiled down to, "I've never watched him because he played for the Detroit Pistons," which makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like, Zoo's not, like, tuning into these. But talking about Kennard, the star of today's media day, said he's 100% healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, so he's been working on a lot of lower body
posture
stuff.
Posture looked great, so I have to believe him there.
Yeah.
He said that Paul George texted him the night of the trade and a bunch of other players called him as well. Love to see that.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Wants to work on finishing around the basket. And he said he learned a lot in day one of workout.
Yeah, it sounded like they had him working on the finishing as well as just shooting a ton off screens.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. That's definitely how he's going to get used. You can see him in a lot of, like, pick and roll, pick and pop kind of scenarios. Yeah, I'm like, this got me really excited about Kennard. I mentioned up top,
yeah.
But like, he gave a great interview. He seems really confident, which I liked.
He has irrational confidence. And I know that's weird to say for someone who has the second most points in Ohio State basketball history and played at Duke. But like, when you watch him play, you're like, where is this coming from? I mean, I'll take it.
Definitely. Definitely. And he talked about, like, someone asked him about, like, if there's a next level of his game and what that could look like. And he said basically that for him, that's going to be improving his playmaking and especially improving his on-court leadership.
Yes.
Which I thought, you know, two things that the Clippers need from a guard. You know, it makes sense. It seems like he could be a solid fit. I still don't think we're going to see him in the starting lineup as a starter.
Yeah.
Like, air quoting.
For sure.
But, you know, there, like we talked about on the last episode, there's some interesting sort of ideas for rotations, and he's definitely an interesting wrinkle to throw into the fold. And maybe he could be a part of closing lineups. Who knows?
I think he might be. He said he's excited to space the floor and help Kawhi and PG kind of play their game. So that'll be a good time. Let's move now on to the relationship of the Clippers with the media in general.
Yeah, what the hell is going on?
Is it strained? Like,
I don't really understand. I mean, like you said up top, this is the second year in a row that we haven't had a coach talk on media day.
Yes, which every other coach did today. And there was an NBA release saying that it was supposed to be two starters technically, which you can read into that with what you want for who spoke for the Clippers today. But the head coach, every other head coach spoke today.
Yeah.
Who did media day.
Yeah.
Maybe Ty Lue was gone.
As we noted, it was also late. And I mean, I'll give the benefit of the doubt for that one. Practice went late. You're not going to make the guys stop their practice or whatever.
Yeah.
Especially when things are so limited. You know, Zoo said there can only be like four guys or whatever in the in the training facility.
But it's just like, it stems from last year. They had a really key guy leave.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Brandon. Hope he's doing well. Who had kind of everything on lock, which was kind of astonishing because like you would get there and he'd just be like kind of speed walking everywhere, talking to everybody.
So I don't think it's a personnel thing. Because I think that they, when Kawhi and PG came, they decided on a different approach for the media because it's felt different. I mean, all the beat writers, even people, you know, much higher in seniority than us were told that they essentially wouldn't be getting one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like was at least on the table last year.
A bit,
Yeah, for other players. So I don't really know. It's like mega confusing to me because it's for them free publicity.
Yeah.
And I don't understand like why it's so essential for them to
keep
it. We
can't talk to rookies. We can't talk to free agent signing. Like you're not setting any of this up. Like the Kings are doing this.
Yeah. Like, I just don't see what the benefit is of like keeping the people who cover your team in the dark. I understand.
And it was before all the leak stuff or whatever too. Like this wasn't a thing that came after all, like, you know, the Athletic report or whatever.
Yeah, totally. And like, I mean, it makes sense to me in like free agency and trades that you kind of keep tight lipped about that sort of stuff.
Definitely.
But I mean, something as simple as like opening day media, I just really don't understand why it's not a more coordinated effort.
Yeah. But that's more of a problem for us. But now the listeners can have a fun anecdote to say to other people too. Coming up, we're going to be talking the What You Say Wednesday poll that is the least controversial yet. But first, Will, talk to me about these Built Bars.
All right. So Built Bars are the best health bar on the market. I've been loving them for a while. It's a health bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's now new and improved, more delicious than it was before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors with nut and non-nut for those with allergies. New flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream,
nice,
cherry barcia,
what,
lemon almond cheesecake,
wow,
carrot cake, and apple almond crisp.
No love for carrot cake.
The bars are great. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're healthy. They're perfect for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat.
Oh, yeah.
The bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high fiber, which makes them great for the keto diet. They come with as much as 19 grams of protein. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners.
What?
You can currently get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, welcome to What You Say Wednesday. Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
So you, the past couple weeks, these have been pretty even polls. I put out a poll on Twitter. It's usually a yes or no question. People answer, very lively discussions. This one, I said, this is the worst one I've ever done. I said, in terms of playoff seeding, do you care about the Clippers being a top four team for the playoffs? Overwhelmingly, 88% said, yes, they do care. 12% said, no, they don't care. I kind of knew it was going to be lopsided, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of, there's particularly one absolutely insane variable that is already affecting teams even starting practice.
Yeah.
Which is COVID.
Yes.
The Warriors today said that two players tested positive. So their first practice is delayed one day because COVID only lasts one day. So like that's a whole thing. There's the 10-day period that if you test, you have to sit out during the regular season, which is at least two games.
Yeah.
Coach Malone was talking about it. Doc talked about it today. He says he doesn't think the NBA can get it under control, which is like, so, like, on paper, obviously, we're a top four seed.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I kind of was saying at all with the poll, but, like, there's a real chance that we get some fluctuation for every team.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. And I mean, I think it, like, things like that are a legitimate concern. I guess the thing that doesn't have me too worried about it is, like, that all teams are going to be facing this same sort of situation. So it, you know, it will affect everybody's, you know, win loss totals, I would assume, unless you really, you know, get on a, you know, the short end of the.
Well, and then there's the other side too, because like I think Luka Doncic talked about how like whichever team doesn't have the most COVID is probably gonna like come out on top.
Yeah,
which is entirely true. You know, you look at a team like the Broncos or something like that, they're screwed. But that variable is something where I'm like, because I wanted people, a lot of people said why they voted yes. Which makes sense. We have a roster that is very, 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 very good. Top tier in the NBA, obviously. But the no votes weren't very representative in the comments, which is fair. But the ones we got were pretty solid. There were some pretty level-headed takes on here. DWP underscore LAC, big fan of the Clippers, big fan of the Department of Water and Power.
How can you not be?
Great branding. They said, I don't care as much this season because seeding will be pretty crazy with so many variables. I care more about the team playing the right way every game and with urgency, regardless of who's on the court, to reestablish the gritty mentality.
I love this. This
having
is
having the good process, as LA Clippers film room would say, is so important.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's one of those things that we never quite got to last year for, you know, extended periods of time.
Yeah.
So, I think establishing that and then just, like I said, the identity of what style of play this team is, you know, getting a sense of, like, who these guys are on the court together as a unit. Like, we know who Paul George is. We know who Kawhi is. But, like, we don't quite have the sum of its parts situation yet.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely more important than any sort of seeding. And just, like, getting, you know, as Zoo said, they didn't have it at the right time. Let's try to peak at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's try to peak at the right time.
Yeah. Let's take that pill maybe 2 hours before instead of, I don't know, 3 or 4. Depressed Clippers fan said, I feel like as long as we are healthy heading into the playoffs and the chemistry is right, the seeding shouldn't matter. Plus no fans this year, I don't believe. That's another thing too. So if there's no fans, it's a little more of a, I guess, easier pill to swallow.
Oh, agreed.
Callback.
Agreed.
To the seating situation. Because, you know, you don't have to go to Denver full of fans or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean,
I also don't think, when I said this question, I'm not saying we're going to be like an eighth seed, obviously. But like 5 or 6, depending how COVID goes, who gets or whatever, like depending how competitive the Warriors are, you know, you got kind of 4 teams who have top 4 seed aspirations just in our division.
Definitely. Yeah. No, for sure. That's fair. It's going to be a fight, and definitely like the COVID sort of wrinkle
makes
a lot of uncertainty around that situation. But like
the
I said,
the roster's so good.
Like I said, I mean the roster is just really sound. It's still though. I don't know. I do not know what to make of it. If you have multiple players testing positive, I mean, 10 days in some weeks, that could be 5
There's
games.
There's back-to-backs. Yeah. Like it just, and like, that's what's so tough is I definitely think I'm being a little pessimistic because I watch the NFL and there's just COVID everywhere and they're refusing to do anything about it really.
Yeah.
In any tangible way. So I think I kind of have that in my brain too, but it's the craziest variable. You know, the bubble was so great. We took the bubble for granted.
Yes.
In terms of what this season is going to look like.
Yeah. It's really uncertain. And once again, you know, all we said last year is like, we really did want a top 4 seed, but you know, once it became the bubble, it really didn't matter. And if we're looking at a similar situation this year, I think I might be with you in not caring if the Clippers are a top 4 seed.
Yeah. If it looks good, you're like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
At Clipside One said, I don't care if we finish 8th seed and the world counts us out again as long as Clippers win the championship in the upcoming season. Yeah. What if we just went full on? Like, what if, you know, we had players that were out, but we look so strong? And then we get there. It's just like, what's up? This is who we actually are.
Yeah.
Because what if the playoffs are in a bubble again?
So
can they do that?
I just don't know.
Like logistically? Like.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it would depend on, I don't know what's happening restrictions wise in Florida. I don't really keep up with a lot of Florida politics.
I'll tell you what's going on with restrictions in Florida. A whole bunch of nothing would be my best guess.
So like that would be an issue, right? Finding a place with suitable arenas and accommodations that you could have in a bubble, which as lockdown restrictions loosen, across the nation seems like it's going to be a lot harder to do. I don't know. You know, we talked about this before, but it's weird to me that sort of every league's solution post bubble has just been, we'll soldier on.
That's going to be good. We're going to be fine, dude. What are you talking about? it'll be interesting to see. I also find it kind of ironic that the team that wanted to have a half full stadium already has 2 players who've tested positive for COVID. It just goes to show that you can't. The Broncos had that dumbass sanitizer thing at their practice. Remember that video?
What was that?
It was like a metal detector looking thing that sprayed sanitizing mist, and it was supposed to like help them not catch COVID or or something. It was a farce is what it was because they don't have a quarterback. Let us know what you think is going to happen. We'll talk about thing at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're closing out with a bit of a roller coaster of vibes, if I'm being totally honest.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which if you're new to the show, it's just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we got some more news from Media Availability Day on Jermichael.
Yes.
He said that, you know, basically he said that the Nuggets were even in play last season. He cited liking their way that they moved the ball.
Almost went to them last season, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah, my bad. The season before. Yeah, sorry, I'm tripping.
He liked the way that they moved the ball and played together as a team. He likes Coach Malone. And then he just talked about basically their composure in when the Clippers blew that 3-1 lead. You know, the Nuggets just kept fighting. He said it showed you the heart of that they had. So it really wasn't a tough decision for him.
Yeah, and this isn't, he didn't throw shade at the Clippers, right? Like, he didn't say anything weird at all. People were kind of getting a little freaked out about it, and it's like, man, everything he said, A, is true.
Yeah.
Doc misused him.
Yep.
Like, we all wanted to see Jermichael at the five.
Yep.
Everyone wanted to see that. He played, I mean, he was the only real good player in that game seven.
Yeah. I mean, he got misused, and that's after, and that's like a season after he waited on a payday.
Took a pay cut.
Yeah. And he waited for the Clippers. He was like one of the last signings as we, you know, tried to maneuver to get Kawhi. And then, yeah, he just wasn't a priority during the regular season and into the bubble. And it hurts, but like, I also can't fault him on the thing, like, seeing what the Nuggets had and the way that they fought. I mean,
100%.
Like, they've now, I mean, they've just done this now through like the last 2 years in the playoffs. Like, they just keep fighting when you think that they're going to be out. They seem like they're always going to be in contention for a top four seed. And they have a sort of continuity on the floor.
Hell yeah, they do.
That you're not going to get with the Clippers, especially when we're in this sort of, you know, win now window where things could get topsy-turvy real quick for this team.
Well, it kind of goes back to that thing we talked about with trading Lou Will, right? Like, the whole players as assets thing. Can't tell me Jermichael probably didn't feel like he was like, oh, shit. Like, okay. Like, this is how this is going to go. Cool. Hope Jermichael all the best, except for when he plays the Clippers, of course.
Yeah.
Hope it's not as sharp that night. But, man, he's going to be so good for the Nuggets. God, I'm so bummed that Jermichael's not on this damn team anymore.
It's, yeah. It's a
bummer. Been thinking about lineups, and I'm like, oh, and then you get Jermichael. Oh, nope, can't do that. Okay. and then we're closing out. The Clippers officially unveiled the new city jerseys. It's last year's, but it's black instead of white.
Ooh.
The video has...
Wrinkle?
Very big wrinkle. The video of this has a clip of a laughing Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it's actually a really good...
It's great.
It's a really good little trailer that they put together. Always great content over there from the official Clippers.
Yes. Andre Robinson made a great video, too, for talking to Mr. Cartoon about the jerseys, which was great. Is laughing Kawhi the most rare Kawhi?
Anytime he smiles, I think I probably have a screenshot on my phone of every time he's ever smiled since he's been a Clipper.
It's funny that these jerseys got released the same day that Miami released the complete opposite of this vibe of jersey, which is their gradient Miami Vice Knights jersey.
Yeah.
Clippers fans are hoping for a red jersey to come back for the Clips. It's been a while.
Interesting.
Do you think we'll ever see one, or do you think that's kind of like that Donald Sterling era that they're not going to bring back?
Yeah, I think it's gone. I know that they want to move towards a more like monochromatic thing, which
sucks if you ask me. Bring back fun uniforms.
Yeah, I don't really love the monochromatic idea. Like, you just have too many teams kind of doing it already. It's just kind of generic.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a return to sort of more the nautical, like San Diego type colors.
Yeah.
Something that just like has a little bit of
character. Not that these don't.
Yeah.
The fact
I love these city jerseys.
The thing that's hard for me is like we had a very obviously similar jersey last year, so it's kind of like, okay, like we'll run it back again. Like, that's cool, but I mean, you look at the LA, those like LA Gear Olympic ones we had when Shea was here were like the biggest fan favorite jersey.
Yeah, those are some of my favorites. Those are some of my favorites. The Mr. Cartoon ones are great. I think it's really good. I just wish it had maybe some more color or something.
Yeah, and the story behind them is amazing. If you don't know about black and white tattooing in Los Angeles, read up on it. They pretty much invented it. And Mr. Cartoon is a pillar of that community. and art as well. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think, I guess last year you could only really get like Kawhi and PG city jerseys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you couldn't. Joseph Fry Ward was talking about it on Twitter. He's like, I wanted a Zubats one, but like they didn't sell them.
I don't purchase a lot of jerseys.
I don't either.
I don't ever get time to wear them.
The last jersey I bought of any kind was a Tua jersey from a Finns, and I wear it just inside. I don't think anyone's outside ever seen it.
Well, when we used to get to go see games in person, you can't wear gear when you're covering
yeah,
the team.
That would be so funny. It's just like, what? I can't. No, man, I'm unbiased. It's an unbiased. There's no name on the jersey. It just looks exactly like the Clippers jersey. Anything else in shavings?
No. Let's get out of here. That is a great start to Media Week.
Oh, yeah.
Hoping for some more stuff tomorrow. And yeah, we can't wait to bring you this news 5 days a week.
Absolutely. Thursday's episode, more Media Day coverage, bit of a recap for you. Perhaps some rotation talking on Thursday. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, where can these people find us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Oh, yeah, always.
If you haven't yet, please subscribe. Helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, leave a rating or review. We'll read it on the air. And yeah, thanks for rocking with us.
Yes. Love y'all so much. Hope everyone's having a good, safe start after the holiday weekend. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.